Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Good morning. Welcome to Thursday. This is the National Day of Prayer. This is not Bill Arnold, by the way. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill, who's off for just a couple of days, and honored to be sitting in the chair. Looking forward to a great program today, as we do focus a bit on prayer and a number of the other important issues of our day as well. And glad to have you listening in to Faith Radio. Rebecca Maxwell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Neil.
Yesterday, one of those kind of pleasant spring days, and I was thinking...
They still make those. That's
well,
really
it's
nice.
feel like you don't get nearly enough of them. So I was out a little bit yesterday afternoon and thought, I don't want to just go inside, so I decided to wash my car, which, you know, I'd love a clean car. But I was realizing as I was looking at it that, you know, I need to do a little work on the inside. Outside looks good, but the inside, you know, that's going to take a little scrubbing, cleaning the leather and the, you know, floor mats and all that stuff. So it kind of reminded me of actually a prayer in some ways, because sometimes here on this day, National Day of Prayer, pray for our nation. But, you know, that's sort of like focusing on the outside. And, you know, God wants us to be looking on the inside, which, of course, that's where he does his work, right?
From the
inside out. And so we need to just simply let God kind of get inside and do the cleaning and scrubbing. Heard Rick Warren the other morning on a Daily Hope broadcast talking about that verse in Hebrews 4. You know, God knows everything, everywhere, all the time. Nothing's hidden from him. You know, Hebrews 4 says, God's word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. But then he goes on to say, because of that, and because Jesus is our great high priest, we have access, ready access to God, and we can step right into his presence. Let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help, which seems like a good way to start out the morning here as we think about National Day of Prayer. And we're going to focus on prayer coming up in a moment. Nick Hall from Pulse is going to join us. And a little bit later this hour, Tony Suarez from the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference will be with us as well. We'll talk about that caravan on the border and more. So it's going to be a great first hour. Glad to have you listening in as we start the day in the Early Morning Late Show. Every moment of the day, it is the right time to pray. Good word from Stephen Curtis Chapman. It is the National Day of Prayer. Today, this day was officially created in 1952 by a joint resolution of Congress. And you kind of want to just stop right there. What? They actually did something together at one point. We're going to talk a little bit about National Day of Prayer and about an event coming up here in a couple of weeks. I connected with Nick Hall the other day. And he mentioned that he was in D.C., and I said, hey, maybe we can just do a connection. Nick Hall is the head of the Pulse movement. Nick, welcome to the Early Morning Late Show. How are you doing?
Hey, Neil, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You know that you were in D.C. and had a gathering last night, and I want to talk a little about the importance of prayer. I just, you know, just curious, though, you know, you've been leading this movement, this ministry for a while, and, you know, started out really almost right out of college and having the opportunity to be mentored by the likes of Luis Palau and others. So when you're in a gathering of, you know, national Christian leaders in the nation's capital, does that kind of maybe go to your head sometimes? You have to kind of keep the right perspective and say, this isn't really all that there is to it?
You know, it's a good question. you know, I have the chance to speak to a lot of people every year. You know, we've had, you know, over 500,000 young people come out even since January this year to these events that we put on. And sometimes people do say, you know, how do you keep centered? And, you know, my answer is pretty simple. I mean, I say, I may stand in front of a stage, on a stage of, you know, 10,000, you know, young people or get with some Christian leaders, but I get before the God of the universe every morning. And so, you know, when you kneel before God, it puts everything else in perspective. Everything else is small. When God is your first, then everything else, is in perspective. And so I just think, man, it's just an honor to, you know, whether it's in front of one, whether it's in front of a million, it's nothing compared to kneeling before the God that we have the privilege of serving and knowing.
You know, we look at a day like today, National Day of Prayer, and there are gatherings all across the country and certainly at the nation's capital. In fact, the president's hosting some events at the White House. But, you know, our tendency is to think, well, this is just one step on the way to an action plan, an agenda. But, you know, when we need to maybe rethink our perspective on prayer, right, that it isn't just one part of the work.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, Oswald Chambers said prayer doesn't prepare us for the greater work. It is the greater work. And, you know, in our ministry, since we started, we've always said we're either prayerful in our activities or we're prideful. And I just think that prayer is the backbone. And so this isn't something that we do in order to do the stuff we want to do. I think prayer is where our hearts are changed. It's where we silence our opinions for God's. It's where we put first things first, you know. And so I just think that, man, when we prioritize prayer, we're prioritizing God. We are not turning to every other voice, which is our instinct. It's our instinct to turn to opinions and ideas. It's our instinct to listen to everyone and anyone. And, you know, prayer is when we come and say, God, your opinion is the one we need. Your leadership is what we need. And I just think, man, if you show me the prayer movement, I will show you the God movement that is always at the center. Where there is any great movement, prayer is there.
Well, we're talking from the nation's capital today, and certainly to be there at this time when, you know, God's people are gathering all around the country in groups, large and small, but certainly think about the nation's capital. The theme for the National Day of Prayer this year is unity, pray for America, unity. And boy, it doesn't seem like unity is much in evidence in the nation's capital. Just offer a thought about, you know, the significance of, you know, calling on the Lord on behalf of our nation and certainly our leaders, and what a prayer for unity could look like.
Well, you know, the Apostle Paul told us, right, he said to pray for our leaders. He said to pray for those elected to power. We know even in Proverbs it says the Lord turns even a king's heart like a water course. And, you know, and so we realize, like, from God's word that God is over it all, and we need to come and pray. And I love to tell people, man, whether you are for or against, you know, whatever administration that we're in, prayer is where we meet, right? I mean, I think of it as Jesus is the only one who welcomes everyone. And so we come together and we intercede. We come together and we pray. We pray for the things that we want to see change. We pray for the things that are at the heart of God. And, you know, prayer can unite people across the Christian faith, and, you know, we can meet. It's the common language, and it's the language of heaven. And so we're coming and saying, God, we need you, and our nation needs you. You know, throughout history, our country has been in hard times. We will be in hard times again. And, you know, it's really when we cry out to the Lord, when he hears us. You know, we know from Second Chronicles, you know, that, you know, there's a promise there that if we will turn, he will respond. This year's theme, I believe, is found in Ephesians 4, and just talking about making every effort, you know, to be united in the bond of peace. And, you know, even Jesus' prayer in John 17 was that we would be one. And so I just think there's something about coming together about this unity under Jesus, our leader. You know, no matter who's on the chair in the White House, we know who's on the throne of heaven. And so we come and say, God, we need you. We can't do this without you. And God, would you move? Would you heal our families? Would you heal our schools? Would you heal our land? And prayer also, it always starts with us. You know, it's always, God, of all the people in my life that need you, I am always the first one in line.
That call from Pulse Movement. PulseMovement.com is the website. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about a gathering happening at the stadium, bigger than the Super Bowl. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show.
And heal our land and give us eyes to seek your face and hearts to understand that you alone make all things new. If my people pray.
It's 18 after the hour. On this Thursday, May 3, National Day of Prayer. Nick Hall from Pulse with us, Pulse Movement. Nick was on with Carmen. I know you're coming on with Susie later, and I always appreciate having you around, Nick. Appreciate your ministry and your passion. We're talking about prayer, but you have an event coming up that I know you'd love some people to be praying about and planning to be a part of. For those, especially in the maybe Minneapolis-St. Paul area, are willing to make a little drive. I guess if you're willing to come to the Super Bowl, you could come to this, right? It's coming up, what, the 18th, right?
Yeah, that's right. Friday, May 18th. I've been asking people to set the alarm on their phone for 5:18, whether that's a.m. or p.m. I guess that depends on whether you're a morning person or not. But we've just been asking people to be praying for May 18th. We're believing God for revival. We're believing God for a full stadium at U.S. Bank. You know, we know that the event, the Super Bowl, happened there in February, but we've been saying that's the small event. The big event is going to happen on May 18th. You know, we have 750 churches across the Twin Cities that have united around the next generation. We have 10,000 believers that have been trained to share their faith and reach out to their friends and pray for their five friends. And man, we booked the stadium. It's free. We got Hillsong Young and Free going to be there. Lecrae, a gospel artist, Ty Trevette. It's going to be a blast. There's going to be, the preaching of the word. We're giving away. It's crazy. You know, this is a youth event. It's an all ages event. It's a family event. And, you know, but one of the fun things that's happening is there's a guy named Mike Lindell, who has the company MyPillow. A lot of people have heard of his ads or seen him in their shopping mall or whatever. But he's got these pillows, and he said, Nick, I came to Jesus. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then God gave me a vision for a pillow. And I kind of laugh, and he says, you know, do you think that people would be excited to have the world's biggest pillow fight? And I said, I think that sounds crazy, but tell me more. And he said, well, what if I gave away 50,000 of my pillows and we broke the Guinness record? And so anyway, it's going to be awesome. You know, it's an awesome, fun, family-friendly event. But the heart of it is crying out to God, inviting our friends, and bringing people out who need the hope of Jesus. Maybe people who wouldn't come to the church, maybe people who have been burned by religion or have felt judgment. This is an event for everyone. Again, I love to say it. Jesus is the only one who welcomes everyone. And so this thing it's called Pulse Twin Cities, and people can find out more at pulsetwincities.com. And join a movement. This is going to be the largest, next generation focused event anywhere in America. Really, that's happened in decades. And an outreach like this, it's the first stadium event in Minneapolis since Billy Graham was here in 1996. And so we have the Catholic Church, we have Lutherans and Evangelicals and Baptists and Pentecostals and even Bapticostals. You know, we're all coming together, and it's going to be awesome.
Nick, there was just a report out, the research from Pew that said that, you know, over 40% of those between ages of 18 and 29 don't necessarily believe in God as described in the Bible. You know, you're reaching to that young generation. Are they interested in hearing the good news of the gospel if it's as you present it?
You know, I think these kids are hungry for Jesus. I think a lot of them have been burned by the church or religion. And if we're honest, Neil, I think a lot of times our churches have become defined for politics or what we're against. And we all, I think, would agree that's a misrepresentation of who Jesus is and why he came. And so I think there's some ownership there. And even today on our National Day of Prayer, to repent and say, God, would you turn us back to the heart of the gospel, the good news that's there. But, you know, we see it left and right. I mean, Pulse started through an English paper at North Dakota State. Even before that, it started kind of a vision I got at Northwestern, you know, University of Northwestern College right there. But, you know, we just really believe that God wants this generation. I believe this is a revival generation. In the midst of all the negative statistics, we see a deep spiritual hunger. We've seen over 700,000 young people, not just attend events, but that's how many people have responded to the gospel since I wrote that English paper. And these are kids in America. These are the teenagers and college kids that are all around us. And so, man, I just see that there is an openness. There's a longing there that will never be met by social media. It'll never be met by the latest high or fad. God's word says he puts eternity in our hearts. And the same is true then as was true now. People are looking for Jesus. And it's our job to invite people. I've been inviting people at Cub and if I'm stopping at a coffee shop or fast food, it's like, hey, you know, we're doing this free event and it's going to be some great music. If you like hip hop, Lecrae's there. If you like worship, you know, Hillsong's there. If you like a pillow, you know, we're going to give those away. If you want to, you know, we're going to break the Guinness World Record. It's such an easy invitation. I mean, everywhere I go, people are like, what? That's incredible. You know, and then I'll kind of joke with them, you know, hey, if you don't like it, we'll give you a full refund. it's going to be so much fun. And I just, you know, really am challenging people to mark their calendars, bring their family, invite their neighbors, and take a step of faith. You know, reach out and invite somebody that you know who needs Jesus, who needs some encouragement. Maybe they haven't been to church in a while, or maybe they've been judged. And I just think this is going to be an awesome declaration, you know, to our Twin Cities, but to the nation. I got a message this week from somebody who said they're driving 700 miles, you know, to be at this event. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. You know, if people from that far away are getting it, like hopefully the people that are here, like this is a once in 10 or 20 years that something like this happens where the churches are uniting and booking a stadium and saying, man, let's put on something that's beautiful and excellent and God glorifying. And we want to make a statement that Jesus is the most important thing. And so that's why we've booked the stadium. It's right in the heart of the downtown, you know, Minneapolis and St. Paul. And we just want Jesus on center stage and the gospel where it belongs, at the heart of culture. Mm.
Nick, blessings to you as you continue to prepare for and continue to minister. PulseTwinCities.com is the website to go to find out about this big event on the 18th of May. And remember to pray for Nick and the ministry at Pulse. Nick, blessings to you, and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Hey, thanks so much, Neil.
You're listening to the Early Morning Late Shows. Take a moment just to hear some reflection on prayer.
Lord, hear our cry. Come heal our land. And breathe life into these dry and thirsty souls. We call on your name, would you make for your glory to dwell. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near.
It's the National Day of Prayer. We have a prayer from Jim Daly from Folks in the Family coming up in a minute. Praying for Families. Invite you to stay tuned for that and more on the Early Morning Late Show.
Crying out in desperation.
Throughout the morning, we'll take a few minutes to pray on this National Day of Prayer. Glad to have you listening in. It's the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Statham, sitting in for Bill Arnold. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Tony Suarez from the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference will focus on the caravan on the south border, talk about immigration and more just ahead. You heard that update about the Christian Writers Conference coming this summer, but we're in the middle right now of the Faith Radio Writers Contest, and submissions are open till May 14. The theme is out of Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. You can get more information at myfaithradio.com. And the winners of those of competition, the Faith Raiders Writer Contest, receive a scholarship to the Writers Conference. So that's a great opportunity. So check that out online, myfaithradio.com. 35 past the hour is the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Statham, sitting in for Bill Arnold. He's off for a couple of days. And we're going to talk to Tony Suarez from the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference in a moment. And talk about immigration and more, and obviously National Day of Prayer, and we're focusing on prayer today throughout the morning show. And Charles Morris offers a moment to pray right now.
I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, on this National Day of Prayer, we place our trust in you. We hold fast to your promise in Isaiah that when we pass through troubled waters, you will be with us. Lead us to cease in pretending that everything will be all right apart from you. Our lives, our government, even our media are in your mighty hand. And because of that, we have nothing to fear. May we pray with Isaiah that when we pass through raging rivers, we will not be swept away. When we walk through fires, may we not be burned and the flames not set us ablaze. Thank you for your admonition to not be afraid, for you are with us. I pray this now in the mighty name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Does prayer matter? And does your nation need prayer? Well, the answer to that and to both those questions is yes and yes. My name is Jim Garlow with the Garlow Perspective. Today, around America, at several thousands of places, people are going to be gathering to pray. And why are they coming to pray? To pray for our nation. Our nation is in trouble. Deep trouble. I recently heard the chaplain for the United States Senate say this amazing phrase, "There is no problem in America, but what prayer is the answer." This is the National Day of Prayer today. So gather at one of the designated sites and join in prayer with fellow Americans for your nation. Your nation needs it. This is Jim Garlow with JimGarlow.com.
Twenty-two before the hour, and this is the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Statham. Nice to have you along today, and looking forward to connecting again with Reverend Tony Suarez, who's an author, speaker, and pastor, serves as Executive Vice President of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. It's the world's largest Hispanic Christian organization, serving more than 40,000 congregations across the country. And Tony's office is in Washington, D.C. And Tony, welcome. Good morning. Nice to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
I was thinking of you being in D.C. I know there's attention all around the nation about National Day of Prayer, but it's a reminder you're in D.C. every day, realizing that prayer is probably what's needed most, isn't it? I mean, we could all get along with one another, but prayer would be a good start.
Amen. And as I've heard since I was a little boy, prayer changes everything. And I'm thankful that that prayer is being celebrated, and that we're talking so much about it, especially here in these last 2 years. I believe there's been a revival of prayer even in Washington, D.C., and it's refreshing. It's refreshing to see people come to the realization that our only hope, he's not our last hope, but our only hope is in Jesus Christ.
Tony, I wanted to focus on a lot of the top news recently has been following a caravan from Central America to Mexico, and those migrants huddle near the U.S. border, preparing to spend another night outside the Immigration Processing Center. Just maybe for those that haven't been following that news closely, just fill us in a little bit on this story.
Well, thank you for that. So, as you mentioned, there is a group or a caravan of immigrants from Central America that have come to our border, and they're waiting. This is actually common in a sense. Is it always a caravan of 100 or so? No. Sometimes it's a family or a group of people, but this is a group of people that are seeking to come into the United States legally. And I think that's very important to hear in the immigration debate that has raged for the last three decades because of Congress's inaction and inability to pass true immigration reform. Time and time again, we've heard people say, I just wish these people would come the right way. I just wish they would do things the right way. Well, you have a group of people trying to come the quote unquote right way. There's several quote right ways to come to the country. One is to fill out an application, submit, and wait. Another way to come is to apply for what's called asylum. If you live in an impoverished country and you fear violence or political persecution or some type of civil unrest, you can always ask for asylum in the United States. And one of the ways is to come to the border. You come to the Immigration Processing Center and you request asylum. And that's exactly precisely what the caravan is doing. So again, for those that have seen this and have thought that maybe this is, I heard one person use the word invasion, another person say they're so brash to just come to the border. Well, that's completely legal according to United States immigration law. Now, if the United States were to say, no, we will not accept you, which the U.S. has not done yet, if we say, no, we won't accept you, and they were to, again, this is very facetious, but jump the wall or rush the border and come in anyways, well, yes, then we have a different scenario. But that's not what's taking place right now. You have a caravan of immigrants that is waiting. They're just waiting to hear. They're waiting to hear whether they can enter or not.
Well, as we follow this story, it reminded me, wasn't it just a year or so ago that we heard terrible news about, you know, it was hundreds, wasn't it? And children sort of trapped in at the border in, you know, terrible conditions, you know, in this almost the same sort of scenario.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's been actually 2 years since what at that time was called the surge. And there was you're right. We're back in the same scenario in a sense. We're this caravan. I think the word caravan, again, when we first hear it and the way the media has reported, I think sometimes we're expecting to hear of a group of thousands of immigrants. It's not. It's about 150 that are there. So it's not. Again, this isn't thousands of people rushing the border, but again, they're seeking. What I have tried to focus on is that they're trying to come the right way. I think that's very important that people get that message, that these people are truly and legitimately trying to come the right way into the country. And this this furthers the point that we've been making with Reverend Rodriguez and the NHCLC that all of this is not, you can't lay the blame at the feet of the President of the United States or one particular administration. The blame lies at the feet of the inaction of our Congress, that going on three decades have not been able to solve this problem. And on this National Day of Prayer, I'm praying that the Lord would give a solution to the caravan. I'm praying that the Lord would give a solution to immigration, that God would touch the hearts of our representatives in Congress to bring something to the president's desk so that we don't have these kind of issues any longer.
Now, these real people, I think we maybe even don't know how to pray. I know one of the things that you talk often about is, you know, how we can maybe discuss these issues as Christians, maybe differently than what we're seeing, you know, played out in the media, which, and obviously Congress seems so entrenched in the positions. And so how can we pray and talk about these issues more clearly, Tony? What would you say?
When I pray on any issue, especially an issue that I'm maybe unfamiliar with or undecided, I always ask God to give me the mind of Christ. Help me to see it from your perspective, from your vantage point. I think that's extremely important. I don't want to look at these issues as a Republican or a Democrat or I don't want to leave any other party out, but I don't want to look at it from a political perspective. I want to look at it through the eyes, through the lens of Jesus. And when I look at this issue, I see an issue of life. These are human beings. When we say we are a pro-life people, we are proclaiming that we care about life, as Reverend Sam Rodriguez would say, from the womb to the tomb. We care about these people because they're made in the Imago Dei. They're made in the image of God. And that doesn't mean that we condone wrong decisions or in this case, coming the wrong way. It's not condoning, but it's coming at this from a perspective of compassion, understanding that as in the case of immigration, our law, our system has been broken for 3 decades, and for years our laws were not enforced, which is what has led us to having over 14 million undocumented immigrants living with not just within our borders, but working and worshiping amongst us. And therefore, we are part of, and I say that very cautiously, but we're part of the blame for why we're in the situation we're in. So we need prayer to figure out how we resolve the issue. But then we also need to remember our history. We need to remember our history that we have always been a nation that has been welcoming to immigrants, especially the downtrodden and the poor and the weak that were seeking a better place. That's the genesis of the American dream. I lived for 13 years in Virginia Beach. I lived 10 minutes from the first landing, and I'm very keenly aware that 411 years ago, another caravan of immigrants came from Europe, and they landed on the shores of Virginia Beach seeking a better life, and I'm so thankful that they came, because if they wouldn't have come, and if the caravan wouldn't have come on the Mayflower to Plymouth Rock, you then might not be on the radio today talking about this issue.
Tony Suarez is a pastor, a speaker, author, executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, offices out of D.C., and joining us today here on the Early Morning Late Show. In a moment, we're going to come back and talk with Tony, has a heart for the people of Puerto Rico, and get an update on the cleanup efforts there. Stay tuned for more. The Early Morning Late Show is underway. It's 12 before the hour. Exactly 10 before the hour. Hopefully you're on time today. It's the Early Morning Late Show on National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 3rd. And connected with Reverend Tony Suarez, who's a pastor, author of a couple of books, including The Church Triumphant and Use Me, Lord. And he serves as executive vice president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Tony, I know you've been encouraging us to pray and to be active in caring for the people of Puerto Rico. They were devastated, of course, by storms back in September. And give us a little update on what's happening there in terms of recovery.
Well, I appreciate that. Puerto Rico still needs our prayers. It still needs our support. It's still very common for there to be blackouts on Puerto Rico. There are still believe it or not, even after – close to a year. There are still parts of the island that don't have electricity. There are children that have not gone back to school. And in a time of age where it just life goes so quickly in front of us, and you know, in the body of Christ, we're to go from glory to glory. And sometimes it seems like if you watch the news, it seems like we almost go from tragedy to tragedy. It's so easy to be able to just move on to the next thing and forget. But I pray that the Lord would help us to keep the people of Puerto Rico close to our heart, because they really need our support. The NHCLC, the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, set up a program last year where we asked and called on stateside churches, U.S. continental churches, to adopt a church in Puerto Rico to help with the rebuilding efforts. The NHCLC takes zero administrative costs of that. In fact, all we really do is match a stateside church with the Puerto Rican church, and then we get out of the way and we let those churches come together to bring resolution. But there's still so many churches that were ravaged that have not been able to rebuild their buildings or just needing a little help. And so we've continued that effort, Puerto Rico Rise Up, and we have continued to meet with the governor, bring faith leaders to the table, and again, thankful for Governor Rosilio, who has had an open heart and has seen the need for the faith community to be part of that rebuilding effort. And as Reverend Rodriguez has, I believe, prophetically said, the church is going to rebuild Puerto Rico. And as we rebuild it, we're going to see Puerto Rico 2.0. So I'm thankful for the way the Lord is using the church in a very prophetic way and prophetic activism to rebuild the island and to see a revival. One of our pastors there, pastor of the largest church called, in Spanish, it's called La Senda Antigua, Pastor Wanda Rolón. You know, there's close to 100,000 people, I believe, that have left the island at this point. And Pastor Wanda said, you know, the people that have left, she said, God's going to bless them. They're going to do well wherever they've decided to go. She said, but those of us that have stayed, God's going to use us to make history. And we're seeing that. I believe that. And I'm thankful for those courageous warriors that have had the strength and the endurance to stick it out. And now they're seeing they're going to see their rebuilding efforts. I believe they're going to see the reward of their efforts.
Yeah, 7 months of recovery. That's a long time. As you said, the news cycle is long past, but to be there, you know, dealing with, you know, electric outages still, and all those challenges. I mean, facing a lot of roadblocks, and need our prayers for sure.
Absolutely. And I again, being a father of three, I think of those children that have lost a year of school and what that means to them and how we help them. That's very close to my heart right now, just wondering about how we help get those kids back on track.
Yeah. Tony, you just have a minute or so left. I'm wondering if you, on this National Day of Prayer, as we talked about praying for a breakthrough in immigration policy, and think about needs in Puerto Rico and elsewhere, would you just take a moment just to pray for us today?
Father, I thank you. I thank you for this new day, because the fact that we woke up lets me know that there's still hope and that you're still with us. And I ask you today to be that mighty God, that comforter, that would come and help us, that you would comfort those that are waiting for a solution, and that you would be that mighty God that would raise up and help us, because we need you, Father. We need you to touch our elected officials, help them to resolve whatever it might be that is hindering this from becoming a reality. I ask that today you would touch, that you would work a miracle, that we would see you move on behalf of your people. And I thank you, Father, for protecting Puerto Rico. I thank you for protecting the survivors of the storm. And now I thank you that rebuilding is going to take place, restoration is going to take place. And we thank you that we thank you today for your healing touch in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Tony, I hope you can rest your voice a little bit. Thanks for giving us a bit of your time this morning. We're always blessed to connect with you.
I'm honored to be with you all. Thank you for having me again.
Tony, if people want to find out more, I mean, I know the National Hispanic Leadership Conference has certainly been speaking on these issues of, you know, justice and stewardship and education and as you say, a prophetic activism. What's a good way to get connected?
NHCLC.org, or you can find us on any of the social media sites as well under NHCLC, or National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference.
Tony Suarez joining us today here in the Early Morning Late Show. Blessings to you, Tony. Looking forward to our next visit down the road.
Take care. God bless. Thank you all.
We'll wrap up hour one of the Early Morning Late Show in just a minute. Stay tuned.
The Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio, you just might find yourself saying, I can't wait to get up early. Yeah, of course, we're kidding.
Thanks to Tony Suarez for joining us. Nick Hall making this a great first hour of the Early Morning Late Show. And there's some more great conversation coming up. Peter Kapsner, one of our professors at the University of Northwestern, will be joining us from Paris, Notre Dame. Woo-hoo. Wow. We spare no expense. And Dr. Ann Bradley will come join us from the Faith, Work, and Economics Institutes. And we're just going to sit back in awe and wonder. And whatever she said, because it's all just amazing. President Trump is hosting the National Day of Prayer event at the White House today. Guest lists include members of the Sutherland Springs, Texas Church, where more than two dozen people were killed in the shooting massacre last year. National Day of Prayer has been observed since 1952, and we thank you for participating in it today in one way or another. We'll have more in the moments ahead on the Early Morning Late Show. Thanks for listening in.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.